Oh, I feel like a fucking idiot right
now. You should know this.
I know I should know this, but it's real fucking primary school knowledge and it's inaccessible to your modern day adult.
When am I ever going to use this?
I was going to say inaccessible to your mind.
Fucking hell. Lock it out. All right, you got Mercury. You got
Venus, one. Yep, that's Earth. Two. Number three.
Oh, God, I feel like
it's the main one.
What do you mean? Oh, Mars.
Yeah, there you go.
Sam's really... Sam in the background is just losing his fucking mind.
Yeah. He's really regretting the fact he came here early.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates me, Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete series. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and the very last episode of that TV series and just try and figure out why this program or said program was made. Joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy. No, Jeremy's not here. That's right. He's away.
I'm going to stop you there, Morgan.
What?
Jeremy's not here.
Oh, there is that. We talked about this pre-pod that someone would need to interrupt me. And yeah. I'm glad that you've... I feel loose now.
We wouldn't know how to finish a sentence.
No, I don't really know how to.
Yeah, so can't trail off. No, never got that far.
We are Jeremy Free. We'll get into why shortly. But Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Morgan.
We are destination podcasting today. We're down in my chateau / manor down in the Mornington Peninsula, from COVID.
What address is that? Just the people know where to go.
They don't need to know where to go. And lastly, Scott. Scott, welcome for the 61st straight time.
Secondly? Lastly?
Oh, whatever. However you want to say
60,
it.
We're not on 60.
62.
62. No,
yeah,
we're not.
Yeah, we are.
I think we're on 60.
For the 60th straight time, welcome, Scott.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here for the 60th time. Yeah, I'm going to look like a real fucking idiot.
Yeah, I know. I reckon I'm bang on. I think it is 61. But anyway,
it's very basic information for
which, and you do all the editing, who's listening. So you should know. But no, we're just free tonight. Unfortunately, with COVID is knocking us around again. So unfortunately, Jez lives in one of the Victorian lockdown zones. So you guys have fled for safety from the city down to my Mornington Peninsula manor.
We'll be here for the next 4 weeks.
Exactly. Well, I would encourage it because we need to keep recording.
You've prepped well. You've been a doomsdayer for a long time. You're well stocked.
I am. I'm extremely well stocked. Yeah. Which is unfortunate. Well, I'm well stocked with something. So while it is July and you guys are doing dry July I am not. So I have 3 beers.
You're doing wet July.
Yeah, I'm dialing it up for you guys.
You are drenched.
You really are. It's going to be a hell of a pod. My skin's on fire.
Smell terrible.
Oh man, it's been a tough 3 days.
Like 27 more to go.
Jesus Christ, I'm not going to make it. All right. Anyway, so look, we're podding without Jez. It feels a little weird, but like it felt right that we should do something.
Do you want to mention the other reason why it feels weird?
Because Jez hasn't interrupted me, or Jez is in a virus lockdown zone.
Because our good friend Sam is listening in the background. Yeah, we actually have
a live studio audience, which is really strange.
Can you just give us just a bit of a clap? Just look at that.
Hello, Sam. Wow. So Sam's curled up there with my puppy Coda, and they're going to have a great time.
I'm going to cry. This is all the recognition I ever wanted.
So anyway, we've got an audience. We're Jez free. I've got three beers. I'm ready.
It's all falling into
place. I'm ready to play out.
This is taken 60 or 61 life. Episodes, but we're finally here.
How do you feel about John Lithgow?
I feel really good about John Lithgow. So we're casting our eyes back to the late 90s. It's a simpler time. Climate change. No one's radar. French Stewart's considered a star. and a global pandemic is simply just a Dustin Hoffman movie. That's what we're going back to. And I feel good about watching this. And I felt great watching it last time.
Fantasy. That is the dream.
Isn't it? No climate change. No pandemic. It's all... No. All we're doing is watching John Lithgow pretend he's an alien. Third rock from the sun.
Man may as well be an alien.
I know.
He's very convincing. He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of late 90s
Before
comedy.
We go proceed any further, I do want to mention that this was not the original choice. We wanted to do...
Yes.
After much deliberation, we
finally landed on this.
I desperately wanted to do Suddenly Susan.
Still baffles Scott and I immensely.
Well, I explained why. I don't need to revisit.
I would wager 1% at a max of our listeners would have heard of Suddenly Susan.
I disagree.
Let us know if you've heard of Suddenly Susan.
We'll put up a poll and we'll see what we get back.
Not Suddenly 30.
No, Suddenly Susan.
Brooke
Shields, Nesta Carbonell.
Carbonell.
Yeah, you're obsessed with his eyes.
My man.
We had an air of content on that alone.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
Very thick eyelashes. When you type in Nesta Carbonell into Google, you know how it's got those like auto-suggested questions?
Yeah.
One of them is, does Nesta Carbonell wear eyeliner?
Ooh.
And the answer is no.
He's naturally lined eyes.
Insane eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What could have been?
But I think we will circle back to Suddenly Susan because when we can find the files, very hard to find that content.
If you know a library that has a copy of Suddenly Susan,
you let TIS know.
I'm really looking forward to your reboot, Suddenly Morgan.
Well, someone's got to give a rundown for that.
We can build that up later. I'd like to get back to that. Suddenly Morgan. God, that sounds like a good program. So back to Third Rock from the Sun, which I was really excited about. We kind of came up with this one on the fly, but I really enjoyed it. Going back because I don't know about you guys. I actually had seen a bit of this. Before I go, hey, what do you know about this show? I take it you guys probably like me.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, you've seen some of it. This show doesn't really have a plot. It's basically John Lithgow, you're an alien.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just throw some jokes up for half an hour and just see what happens. And that's kind of the show. And then it just sort of ends.
Yeah. It's really like an improv premise that they just let run.
It is.
Which means it has some great gags and it gets a little bit old from time to time.
Yeah, there's some things that are... I did get to really enjoy... There was a few flashbulb memories, which I'm going to get into a little bit later, about some things that came up in that show that I'm like, oh my God, I remember that. There is one particular quote that I still quote to this day. I've got a clip actually for that. So
I'm looking forward to finding out what it is.
We'll come back. So let's just get into the pilot episode and we'll start unpacking it from there.
3R from the S begins with four aliens, Dick, Harry, Tommy, and Sally, sitting in a Cadillac contemplating their new mission on Earth.
Look at us. I can't believe we look like them. Is anybody else sweating out of their breasts?
But while undercover as a university professor, Dick, played by John Lithgow, meets his colleague Dr. Mary Albright and becomes infatuated with the human spectrum of emotions.
We can't leave yet. Did you know that our bodies can produce feelings? I got a whole lot of them from Dr. Albright this afternoon.
Really?
Yes, and I'm going to a party to see if I can get a little tonight.
Dick is diving in with both feet, although in their human bodies, Tommy, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is going through puberty, and Sally feels challenged by the female anatomy. The episode ends with Dick kissing Mary at a party and the team deciding to extend their mission.
I want to find out what else they know, what makes them happy, how they raise their young, what happens when they die. I think this is going to be our greatest mission.
So, right off the bat, they're just firing from the hip with jokes. Firing.
Mm.
And I got laughs.
They're getting a few hits.
Yeah.
And the one thing about this show, it kind of speaks to... So, I did some extracurricular reading. So, Lithgow... He chose to do this.
Went undercover as an alien.
Yeah, he did.
For six months.
Method actor. Got right into the... Yeah, went to Area 51, did the whole thing. But he took this role because he was trying to find something a little more family-friendly, hours-wise. So that's why... Yeah, that's why he got away from movies in the theatre. So he picked this up. But the show is like...
Oh, like for him working on it.
Yeah, work-wise.
Oh, right. X-rated material.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
Smucking.
Did a lot of hardcore back in the early 90s.
Full penetration.
Yeah. Solving crimes, full penetration. Just watching this show, so you've got Jane Curtin, John Lithgow, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's obviously really young.
Yeah. Mm.
The cast is really, really, it's like you're probably not going to get a better TV sitcom cast than that.
Mm.
Just shows that, like, good. If you cast a show just like that, there's no premise. Literally, you four act like aliens and we'll just work around you.
Mm.
And it's really quite funny and good.
On paper, it sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you wouldn't convince somebody by reading them the logline.
It probably would be quite bad.
Mm.
Like, I think the fact that you've got, you get good actors, they just make it funny. Because Lithgow's so intense.
Lithgow's wonderful.
He's so funny in it. I know!
Their chemistry, Jane Curtin?
Yeah, Jane Curtin.
John Lithgow and Jane Curtin's chemistry on screen is superb.
Yeah, it's actually great. It is
legitimately very funny just to watch them interact.
For future reference, I have a red Volvo.
Please, Dr. Albright, we barely know each other.
And it's funny when you have shows like that where I think The X-Files is probably the perfect example where you just kind of get two characters that the chemistry works so well because she was on it. So Mary Albright was only meant to be in a 7-episode arc and then they're going to write her out. But then it worked really well. And then Jane Curtin really liked the show and liked being a part of it. Mm. They just kept that rolling. So it's funny when you have, if you get some, I think the like conversely, you look at the 4400 where you had the worst chemistry you could possibly imagine with two leads, how things can work and things cannot work.
Yeah.
And it can really make a show. And that's one of the big selling points. But I wonder if the show had Lithgow on board before they pitched it to the network or the other way around, whether or not the network, cool, let's do a show about aliens.
I mean,
get John Lithgow.
Yeah.
I feel like you could, in the late 90s, it wouldn't be that tough to pitch this show and get it at least a season off the ground.
Yeah, but if you just had one of those other like generic sitcom actors, if you had like Ray Romano or Jim Belushi or something, Schneider, it would have bombed.
It would have been really bad, yeah.
You need like Lithgow's weird, like intense wackiness.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Well, I think
he's got a crazy laugh.
He's just...
Yeah.
What are you, from Mars?
Mars? Oh, no.
Like the thing is, he's so overqualified for the role. And that's what makes it so good.
So what was his big stuff before that? Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah,
Cliffhanger. Oh, yeah.
Dylan and Cliffhanger.
Man,
it's kind of all I got.
Yeah.
But he was bankable. So actually, his son plays. There's a student in the class, the one with the dark hair. Leon is actually his oldest son.
Getting him in.
Okay,
in the family.
This episode was basically like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Sort of vibe.
But
women are like shallow stereotypes and men are sex pests.
You don't have the authority to alter the schedule.
Of course I do. I'm in command.
Yeah, well, I'm in puberty, pal.
Kind of, basically what it was.
It was some of the stuff in there didn't age well. You would not, it would not fly these days.
I mean, some pretty strong, if not lighthearted, but also quite evident domestic violence vibes.
A lot of full force slaps.
A lot of open hand sort of work. And it's not great.
No.
No, that's probably one of the one downs. Like, I didn't so much hone in on that. That wasn't one of the things that I was looking at. The one the one joke that I laughed at so much, and I know it's so shallow, when Harry had the torch, and she said, "It's really satisfying holding this." And Dick's like, "Give me that."
Yeah, so they've got like...
This is good.
they pull something out of their like space suitcase thing. And it's like, what is it? Like some sort of cylindrical thing. Assumably some sort of masturbatory device.
So you think it was not a torch, it was a fleshlight? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no.
Space fleshlight.
Great, you've ruined it.
Mind fleshlight.
The old
fuck it with
fleshlight.
Your thoughts.
Mm. One line I really want to ask about, because when Mary and Dick first meeting, she asks him, I think, if he's married, and he says his wife burned up on reentry, or his partner burned up on reentry.
Right,
and she makes the joke,
"I had a boyfriend who used to burn up on reentry. He walks with a limp now."
What does burning up on reentry mean when you're having sex?
It was a sex thing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't quite
get
it.
What is that?
I don't. Maybe.
Yeah, is it like chlamydia thing? Or is it like a premature ejaculation thing?
But STI sounds right.
Because
he was re-entry after being abroad, let's say. That makes sense. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like that's what she said that just makes absolutely no sense when you think about it.
That was confusing. There's a lot of a lot of play on words.
Yep.
In this show in general, because it's like they're coming into, human culture, not understanding almost anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually found it like really, it was quite funny and interesting because I just finished a philosophy of language unit at uni.
Can you write your a thesis on Third Rock from the Sun?
My thesis on John Lithgow's gags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why he's misinterpreting all of these things.
Dr. Scott Burgess presents.
20,000 words.
Your PhD on John Lithgow comedy from the 90s.
I found it really interesting because there's so many turns of phrase that just do not mean what they are literally. And that's like basically 40% of the dialogue in this first episode is just somebody saying, I'm struggling to think of an example, but
like, I'll pick you up at 8.
I'm not sure how to get there.
I can pick you up.
That won't hurt your back?
Oh yeah, it is kind of. You're not literally going to kind of pick me up, are you?
Weird things.
We do say that.
You didn't literally burn up on re-entry. You just had chlamydia.
And like the fact that when Dick keeps parking in Mary's parking spot.
That's my parking space. I had to park a mile away.
Oh, so you have a car?
Oh, you have a car. It's like he doesn't even link the fact that having a car space means that you've probably got a car. Like it's just that foreign to him.
Yeah.
Morgan, you mentioned French Stewart was a bankable star.
No, well, I didn't say
I got qualms with that.
No, no, I said.
What else is he?
Oh, no, Lithgow was a bankable star. What was Stewart?
Yeah, Stewart was, I can't remember what I said.
Sex symbol?
No, that's what he is. He's a sex symbol. No, it was considered wasn't considered a hack. Let's just say that.
Climate change, on no one's radar. French Stewart's considered a star.
Because I do consider him a hack.
He is a hack. He is, like, the thing is. This role as Harry is just like I remember the hits, like the squinting idea was his idea.
That's
not a good thing.
That's all he brought.
That was probably the worst part.
Yeah, do you reckon he just did that in his audition? And they were like, oh yeah, that's a good bit. That's a good bit. And then he just rolled with it for 5 seasons. Oh,
sweet, I nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's interesting
character trait.
Yeah, he's well cast for this particular role. He's not a good actor though.
No, he's the weak link for me.
I completely agree. I think Sally, so Kristen Johnson, I think she's really funny and she's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think she looks like Kirstie Alley?
She does a bit. Yeah,
she's got a bit of it.
I get confused between the two.
She's really tall. Like
she seems really.
Yeah,
tall.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. I shouldn't say she's really tall. I think she's 6 foot. Lithgow, I think, is like 6'4". He's a big man.
Mm.
But it's so funny. Look, when she's standing next to Don in like the later episodes, Wayne Knight or Newman for those playing at home. That's playing at home. Who talking about?
You're talking about Sam.
Yeah, I'm talking about Sam. Sam knows Newman. it's like she's comically bigger than he is.
Yeah,
but she's obviously probably wearing heels as well, so that gives her an extra. So is
Lithgow though. So
Lithgow's wearing lifts, so he's actually like 6'9".
What's the opposite of a lift?
A sink.
Wearing like drill shoes, so he just drills into the ground.
He's done the tiptoes, Gary Oldman. He's just on his knees.
Another one of those little things, like your turns of phrase, Scott, that got a little, not a laugh out of me, but like a, just that, nose exhale, was when Sally was making burgers or something, and she's just got her hands in a bowl full of mints, and then someone reveals to her that it's a dead cow.
I have dead cow on my hands.
And she just freaks out.
That actually was quite funny.
It's like,
I'm touching dead cow?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment when you think about it.
Yeah. Just elbow deep in flesh. Why didn't anyone tell me?
I want to circle back again. Yeah. French Stewart is very clearly the weak one.
I think he's sort of like your Rob Schneider-esque kind of guy. In that
is this supposed he may to be not be in
very
his favor?
He may not be very talented.
Yeah.
He may not be very enjoyable to watch. He may not be a very good actor. He may not be able to remember his lines, but he's quite memorable.
You can't argue.
He may not be able to open his eyes.
Yeah, that thing when I read about the squinting, I'm like, that's like when they said in Friends. Apparently, so Joey was not meant to be such a dull character. What's the actor?
Matt LeBlanc. Dim-witted.
Yeah, LeBlanc he thought it'd be funny. He brought that to the table. It's kind of like, well, it's kind of low-hanging fruit there.
Yeah, yeah.
It did work in Friends, but I don't think the squinting necessarily brought much to the table here. Like, just Harry squinting wearing the giant furry jacket.
It had one gag where he didn't realize that eyelids were manual and he had to like
that was quite
force
funny.
Himself to open
them.
I can't see through my eyelids.
Open them.
Oh, they're manual.
But that gag doesn't get you 5 seasons.
Aaron, that's his origin story. What do you want?
Yeah, he really.
It's the very crux of his being.
This is one of those things where you watch the first episode and the last episode as we have, and we realize he's been rolling with that same joke for the whole time. He just hasn't evolved past it.
It's like the Odyssey. I don't know what you want.
All right. Well, look, I think that's that kind of covers off the first episode. Let's jump into the two-parter finale.
In the finale of Third Rock, Dick has blown their cover after turning someone into a chimp in front of Mary.
There is no good way to explain what she saw.
Okay. Damage control, you guys. We have to normalize the situation.
But how?
Home base pulls the plug on their mission as they are ordered to return home. But don't worry, there's still time for some wacky hijinks. Harry has a date with a woman that he thinks is a set of twins.
Oh! Amanda! You're here too.
To
eat. In the kitchen.
Sally has a training montage with her cowardice boyfriend, Wayne Knight, turning him into a competent police officer.
Whenever I was at work, I was scared. But whenever I'm around muffins, not so much.
And they throw a big alien-themed going-away party. Dick almost convinces Mary to come with them, but instead, he wipes her memory as they blast off home.
Lieutenant, information officer, transmitter.
Commander.
My family.
I like that ending.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah. It ends the way it started, basically.
Mm. They're sitting in the Cadillac.
Yep. And it's also like that show has, as we alluded to at the start,
mm-hmm.
there's no real plot or story. It's just
cool.
They're aliens. Mm. They're here for a mission. Your mission's over. Time to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're not going to take Mary. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. They don't hang on to. They don't force it really. No. What I think even though some of the jokes in the show are really quite funny and they land in a really big way, the thing that I like the most about this show, and I feel weird even saying that on this podcast,
it's out
of place.
Very rare that we like.
Mostly because Jez will interrupt you before you can say anything.
Yeah. True. Nobody's finished a sentence.
This is really dragging on. I've never used to this.
Is just how great the little like earnest moments are. Like they're not afraid to play things not as gags.
Mm. Yeah,
which you just don't like. You do not see that in like. I mean, well, maybe you do. I just don't watch sitcoms anymore.
Yeah,
but I thought that was just really effective, and I thought good on them for actually going for it because it's quite difficult to do to hit that in an earnest way, and I thought they did it really well.
What are you gonna miss the most, Tommy? The way the sky looks from my bedroom window.
I'm gonna miss the first time you put on a new shirt.
Snow. Everything.
And again, I think it comes back to just the cast being quite strong. Obviously, again, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Lithgow, they're all... I mean, at the time, Gordon-Levitt's pretty young, but then it kind of shows that, the actor he is now... Clearly had talent.
Yep.
So, and I think that's the thing. I think this is a show that goes. It speaks to casting can just really make everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make or break things.
Yeah.
Would you say that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's sideburns were a character of their own?
Oh man, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Well,
that was an interesting choice.
I had a note. I had a few notes.
I know. Yeah, I knew you.
They're very long.
It's they're definitely there. He's definitely grown them out. And you can see them, and I don't have any further comments to make.
This is my look.
Yeah, he really...
a thing in the early 2000s?
It must have been. Like, the sideburns, the push-forward, greasy hair. I don't know.
Yeah, it was sort of like a bit of a kind of like early... Who's the guy who's not the main Linkin Park guy, but the other guy's like...
Mike Shinoda.
Yeah, why do you know his name? That's weird.
Fort Minor, baby. Remember the name.
I can't argue with that. Sort of that kind of hairstyle. It's a bit of curl, push forward.
Yeah.
Really painting you a picture.
So that was one big fashion choice. The other one I want to touch on is Harry's outfit for his date. So he's on a what he thinks is a date with two twins. It's actually just one woman because he's a moron who can't open his eyes.
Yeah.
And he's wearing it like a silky sky blue frilly shirt, kind of like Jerry's pirate shirt, with some like tropical-ish patterns on it. And he's decided to unbutton it. And he's just got like a white singlet underneath. It is bizarre.
Yeah,
I could not wrap my head around
he
that.
It's like the shirt you would buy from a 1970s lounge suit, a powder blue lounge suit. I get the matching puffy front shirt to do that. But he's wearing that as an open neck shirt, and it looks bizarre.
See, Morgan, you're wearing a nice plaid number with a white t-shirt underneath. You look quite dashing.
It works. I know what I do.
Yeah, you're not wearing the frilly sky blue number.
Oh, well, not tonight. I'm an idiot.
If you could open your eyelids a little bit more, that would make me feel a little bit more comfortable.
I'll have to do it. Let me do it. Allow me to do it manually.
Oh, I love that sound.
So the sort of the catalyst of this episode is that Dick turns someone into a chimp.
Yep.
Liam was going to go through with his plan to turn Earth into Planet Monkey World, so I had to use his own weapon to turn him into a chimp.
Oh, my God.
What, you chimpified Liam?
What would you presume if your significant other that you had been dating for 6 years, mm-hmm. presumably, or maybe three, I don't know, turned somebody into a chimpanzee? Ooh. What would you presume about them?
Government.
Assume? Presume? That's one of the two.
I guess you'd assume they'd work for the government or, I don't know.
I think I was crazy. Capacity?
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
I think that's the...
It'd be pretty easy to blow it off, just be like, did you hear... Like, are you hearing what you're saying right now?
Yeah.
Just gaslighting.
Turn someone into a chimpanzee.
Solid.
I find now every now and again I start, like, I catch things out the corner of my eye and it's happening more and more to me as I get a little bit older.
Lithgow turning people into chimps?
Now I feel like that's the next step, is that Lithgow... Did you guys see John Lithgow turn that man to a chimp? Listen to what you just said. Did I see John Lithgow turn a human man into a chimp? No, I did not.
What would you think would be more reasonable? Magic or aliens? Or is there even really a difference?
Yeah, that's the question.
Probably it.
That's the question.
Probably aliens. Our audience is going bananas over there.
Obviously it's magic.
Yeah. He's very clearly in the magic camp. Oh, that's just made him angry.
Maybe that's another your follow-up thesis, Scott.
Yeah.
Magic and aliens. What's the difference?
Magic really? Or aliens. What's the difference?
You can run some tests on Morgan.
That'll be a follow-up to you.
How do we get there?
As a professor of John Lithgow, are you sure you're qualified to write that?
My sample size is one, so I don't know if that's going to... I don't know if Oxford's going to accept my research as legit.
I like how, in the absence of Jez... as the lawyer of the show, we at least have Scott's professional expertise as John Lithgow doctor.
John Lithgow doctor.
I'll be fielding questions after the end of the podcast if you want to send them through.
And I think Coda's is trying to eat your foot as well. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to ignore it. I figure if I don't move, she might just move away.
I like to think away. That... you really let the cat out of the bag there. I like to think that our audience didn't know that it was a dog and it was like just a person.
Oh, yeah.
Coda is a person. I have a human person as a pet.
Yeah, no, a slave. Alien.
We don't want to put alien labels on it.
You turn them into a dog. That makes more sense.
So we spoke before about how it was a pretty well-handled ending. They didn't labor the point and it seemed sincere. But one thing I reckon they really could have done without was the number from Elvis Costello.
In other words, I love you.
Yeah, it was a bit redundant, wasn't it?
It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
I just do not get shows wanting to have some big finale and get some guest actor and put in a musical number in a sitcom. No one wants that. No one who's watching the show five seasons wants that.
This, I'll tell you what that is.
Home Improvement.
And they shit on Elvis Costello.
I know. Actually, I'm glad you said Elvis Costello because it's been on my mind lately of the finale of the show. And instead of doing a Home Improvement show, they do.
Mm.
Yeah, they get all the people. The guests.
What was that band called?
The K&B Boys.
K&B Boys.
So basically, the finale of the Home Improvement is the show within the show is that they just get all the old Tool Time characters to do a musical version of Tom Jones's Burning Down the House. Like, that's the worst finale ever. I'm not interested in watching dickheads play angle grinders to the tune of Burning Down the House.
Yeah.
That really kind of annoyed me. I'm like, what was the point? What was the point of that?
Mm.
The one thing it does show, though, is like if they get... I'd sooner have Elvis Costello on my finale than Gavin DeGraw. So, I think Third Rock from the Sun, we can safely say...
The original hatted crooner.
Yeah,
Elvis Costello.
I don't know how to tell you this morning, but I feel like DeGraw would pull more audience than Costello.
Probably now.
You reckon?
I don't think so.
I feel like Costello's still got some cachet.
He does.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about him.
He'd pump it up.
How's that song go? Pump it up.
Pump it up. Pump up the jam. That
one. Oh, okay, yeah.
Ow, what? I mean,
DeGraw doesn't set a particularly high bar.
Yeah, exactly. What are you sitting here defending? What's he got? Gavin DeGraw?
Could we do a best of musical appearances of finales from TIS shows? I'm trying to think of the other ones.
The K&B Boys, Elvis K&B Costello, Gavin DeGraw.
There's got to be more.
Oh, there is. I mean, why not just a classy finish like Scott Bakula show? I've drawn a blank.
Quantum Leap. Yeah.
There you go.
Mm. Very classy.
Imagine if he leapt into Elvis Costello's body.
Oh, and then he leapt into that finale of Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm, maybe he did, for all we know.
Exactly. That's why he got like, it was like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
He was all confused. Did one of the gags in this finale I really enjoyed was when Joseph Gordon-Levitt then became like crotchety old man, because he is the oldest one there, but he was a teenager.
Yeah. Pipe down. You knew the mission was going to end. Now it's ending. Get it together.
Okay, see, here comes. Why do you always get like this when missions come to an end?
Yeah, goodbye, teenager. Hello, crotchety old man. Get your mouth shut.
Actually, that was one of the things we didn't talk about, how they start to feel as humans.
Yeah, they've obviously got their like alien ages, but when they go into the bodies, they inhabit them chemically, I guess.
Which is why Dick's so attracted to Mary, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's then like a teenager and he's hitting puberty and just
wants to fuck everything and
exactly.
Makes a whole lot of very inappropriate comments.
Exactly. Very inappropriate.
Just going home and beating off like a maniac.
Yeah, that was a good gag when Lithgow's berating him for being so sex obsessed, and he's like,
give me your mind for just a second.
Oh, please.
Come on, just give me your mind.
Oh, that's disgusting. You think like that?
All the time.
We've got to get you out of here.
Oh, my God.
Horrible.
How do you live like this? But are they like genderless as well?
I'm getting that impression.
Sally,
but they sort
like,
of they default to male.
Yeah. It seems like that. But it seemed like Sally drew the short straw in that none of them wanted to be in the woman's body.
Yeah, which is interesting that they don't know anything about human, like they don't know anything about society. They don't know anything about culture.
But they know that
women are inferior in this social pecking order.
It's just the way of the universe.
Yeah, yeah. Something
everyone fundamentally understands.
It's a little bit bizarre.
The montage where Sally is training Wayne Knight to be a better cop.
Yeah.
She does a quick, snappy shot of her like cleaning, at, like taking apart a gun and putting it back together. That was so unimpressive.
I know.
It was horrendous.
And it's clearly...
They like tried to speed it up, but it was still kind of really slow.
Yeah. She's still like, sort of like kind of fumbling.
It's
like they cut that together because they tried it so many times and clearly Kristen Johnson just couldn't do it. And they're like, we cut it together and speed it up, it'll be fine.
Like get like shoot a couple angles, you know? Yeah. They shot like it's one just, angle.
Yeah. And
or don't have her in the picture. Just get someone else.
It's fine. It's just hands. It doesn't matter. An extra who just can actually do it fast.
Yeah, they kind of dropped the ball there.
And then the canned laughter is like, woo!
Oh, sorry. Anytime I've taken my gun apart, I had to buy a new gun.
But it's just like trying to watch someone like dice a carrot just really shittily, and everyone's like, oh my God, how'd you do that?
So quick.
Master
special ops.
That was so bad. That was, I really enjoyed just any scene with Kristen Johnson standing next to Wayne Knight was just hilarious to me, because he is comically small compared to her.
He is.
She is so like.
Yeah.
The thing is, she's not like she 6 foot is quite tall, for a woman, but that's not that tall really.
No.
But all the guys on this show, apart from Lithgow, are tiny.
Mm. Like, and he's huge.
He's a large man, but like French Stewart's like 5'6". Mm. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's like 5'8". They're not big guys.
Yeah.
And then they've just got Sally. I think it's part of the whole look, though, where Lithgow's just enormous and she's quite tall. It's kind of like part of the wackiness of the whole family that they're all so oddly sized.
They don't know how to sort of pick the sizes to fit into the averages.
No, they're just sort of just, yeah, oh, yeah, cool. That's what we'll go for.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether, if I was an alien choosing to inhabit a body, I don't know whether Lithgow would be my first choice.
Well,
no, I don't know.
Do you Top think... Do you think they... like inhabited like other people's bodies? Did they like steal some people's lives?
That's,
or did they like materialize these bodies?
That is something I wanted to know, because obviously Dick gets hired at the university.
Yeah.
Are the credentials all fake?
Yeah.
I assume they've doctored up some.
So there wasn't a John Lithgow body before the alien came down?
I don't think so. I think this is more like a... I think this is like a... WWE sort of wrestling PlayStation 4 kind of design, sort of Monster Factory kind of scenario.
Oh, so they get in there like character creator for John Lithgow just wound up the slider for height all the way up. And for French Stewart, you just slide the eyelids all the way down.
And then they're just like, huge. He literally can't open them. It's that sort of
downloading all these like custom outfits. So he just like mods it with his open puffy sky blue shirt.
I'm gonna reboot Third Rock from the Sun as an episode of Monster Factory.
WWE Third Rock from the Sun.
Now I mentioned something at the start of this episode about how there was a section I'd been quoting from this show.
Oh yeah.
So apparently Lithgow, he calls everyone bitch throughout the show. It's his real commentary. He's like, oh, you bitch.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. So I found...
sounds kind of familiar, but it also shocks me in a way.
I found a compilation video that had it all. And I remember watching, it was a promo for Third Rock from the Sun on one of those like Foxtel networks that had Seinfeld and everything on there. And it was always... It was so Mary and John, Mary and Dick are just lying, sitting down, and I'll roll the clip.
You owe $9,500.
What? You bitch!
So I don't know.
What?
The thing is, I don't know what the context is. So basically, Mary's telling Dick that he owes $9,000, and he just goes, what? And just blames her straight away. And I've been quoting that for the better part of 10 years with no idea what context it is. And I still don't to this day. But just as we were doing this, I was like, since it came out, I'm like, oh, that's right. And then I had looked up and I found that compilation of just Dick Solomon calling people bitch.
Man, I did not expect that. It's like a precursor to Dennis Reynolds.
Oh, big time. That's where Glenn Howden got it from. Just watching a lot of classic Lithgow.
Is this what led him into his role in Dexter? Where, because nobody says the C word like John Lithgow in season 4 of Dexter.
I'm rewatching Dexter as we speak, so I'm not quite...
As we speak right now?
Yes. That's why I got my iPad up. I'm just watching it.
What's he up to now?
I'm in the Jimmy Smits episodes at the moment.
I don't remember who that is. Is that season 2?
Miguel, season 3.
He's like a cop?
No, he's an ADA.
Oh, that's close enough.
Yeah, halfway there. we're just about to get cross into the Trinity Killer.
Well, he really drops the C bomb with a really hard C, and like I was like, I had become accustomed to that word because we live in Australia and not in America, where it's still got a bit of stigma. Yeah. But it brought it all back. I was like, ooh, I shivered when he says it. Mm. I'm not going to say it, obviously. But
no. Well, he's got a good C and he's got a good B. That was a hell of a B.
He really does. Strong C's, strong B's.
Yeah.
What? You bitch! God, I want to know. I want to know what he owes money for.
Harry's outfits.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Yeah, probably.
There was a line that really caught me off guard where they were talking about how they got found out when he turned someone into a chimp. Did they say that Liam Neeson made a complaint?
I did hear that.
I didn't go back. I think but I feel like I said, it was. They said Liam Neeson complained to their alien homeworld.
Yeah.
Well, surely that can't be right.
I don't think they're saying Liam Neeson. I think they're saying something very close to Liam Neeson. It's like Liam Beeson.
Liam.
Or maybe Neeson. Riam Cleason. Yeah.
An inter-alien complaint has been lodged by Liam Neeson.
No, I thought it was Liam Neeson as well.
What a wild twist that would be.
But
it's just like those four and Liam Neeson. They're the five aliens on the planet.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, there might be more. Like, it's one of those... because it's... I know the giant head, which runs everything. It's played by William Shatner.
Oh, is it nice. Really?
Yeah.
Sort of like a Zardos giant head? That kind of thing?
I wouldn't care to speculate.
Mm. Like a Rick and Morty, show me what you got?
Like, more like that.
Yeah, okay.
Show me what you got.
Zardos.
Either way, I love how the transmitter is Harry. It's like, yeah, that's French Stewart's role. It's easy if you pretend to be someone else while pretending to be someone else, because that way it's complicated and you won't be able to think any other way.
Just sit there and close your eyes, go to sleep.
Yeah, just keep squinting.
Almost close them.
God damn, that storyline with the twins was...
Oh, is this every episode for him?
That seems like where they've run out of ideas.
I actually have a note here saying it was such a disinteresting story.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
Just typical wacky sitcom.
Yeah, but again, that's the show. It's like everything, like the comedy is just literal comedy and everything's taken so,
Do you reckon Tommy's just, if like Harry's going out on dates like left, right and center, do you think Tommy's just infuriated at him that he's just like getting all these opportunities and just... wasting them, while Tommy's just in there busting to fuck.
Well, he's
for six seasons.
He's in college by the end, so
Yeah, he could have been.
Who knows what's going on with those sideburns? That level of facial hair, you know,
he's got to be bringing something in.
Exactly, you know? You would like to think so.
I thought he might have actually been out of it by the end because he wasn't really in the first part much.
No, he
only came in when they started planning the going away party at the end.
He is listed as being a part of every single episode, but from what I understand, towards the end of this series run, that's when he actually was going to college. No, he went to college.
Okay.
He basically stopped acting for a period of time.
Because he would have done 10 Things I Hate About You in the run of this show as well.
He did. Mm. Yeah. So he left to go to college to basically sort of put his acting career on hiatus. And from all accounts, like I thought it was always his plan to come back, but he was actually terrified that he would not be able to get back into Hollywood after spending time away.
Yeah.
What did he study at college?
John Lithgow.
Undergrad.
Damn it,
John
you beat me to that.
The undergrad. I top him with the masters, but you know.
So you were teaching. You were tutoring him.
Yeah, you're teaching that course
for years.
Despite the fact that JGL is older than you,
but I have longer sideburns than he does. So,
this is true.
You can't see him at the moment because they're covered up. But,
is that how you graduate?
Yeah. It's sort of like
thicker sideburns than me, then you'll graduate.
It's like the university equivalent of a black belt. In Lithgow.
Of course.
This is really falling off the wagon.
Yeah, all right.
I got one more thing to say about this show, and I think it's probably one thing that anybody who's even seen a little bit of it is going to be familiar with, which is the wacky planet transitions.
Yes.
So that's probably the one thing that I remember the most about the show is that to sort of join all the scenes up, they have a little... They got some slap bass. Sometimes it's just one note. It's just... And they've got just all the different planets, just like one of them throws the rings to the other one. They're a lot of character, a lot of pizzazz.
So the creators of this show also created That 70s Show.
So
that kind
of
makes
sense. Think about the transitions in That 70s Show when they're doing like it'll be like the actors doing some sort of dance.
Very like Austin Powers-y.
Those weird sort of transitions.
Yeah, it was also very Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I forgot about the transitions from Home Improvement.
They changed the game.
Oh, they did too, didn't they? Yeah.
They're kind of nightmarish, some of them.
Oh, man. I just remembered
weird TVs eating things.
Like all last night, kind of in and out of sleep, I had the Third Rock theme song in my head. I wake up half like 4 a.m. and it's just like running. Like, oh,
God, not again.
Did you?
Fred Stewart's coming in your room, turning it on at night.
Squinting at me.
You don't like my squinting? I'll take this.
Did you guys see a name in the credits for the finale that really should raise a lot of eyebrows, especially for you, Morgan?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and answer for Aaron and I both. No, we did not see them.
No?
No.
You didn't see that the story editor for the last episode was Will Forte?
Oh, no, I did see that. Damn it. Oh, I was lying. I did notice that. Do you think it's the same Will Forte?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You looked it up?
Did you look it up?
I looked it up.
Huh. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, he's actually done a lot of writing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, he does a lot of writing on SNL and...
Explains why it's quite funny.
Well, the last episode was meh. It wasn't that bad.
I thought it had some good
Especially if you go on the scale of finales that we've watched.
Yeah.
That was probably like a top five finales that we've seen. It's a really low bar. What is the best finale we've ever done?
Would it be Dinosaurs?
Yeah.
No, that was a train wreck.
No, that was actually... Hands down, that was good.
I'm being sincere.
It was the best. I am also being
I know you sincere. Are.
I found Dinosaurs...
I just don't want to lead our listeners
completely
astray.
Completely unwatchable.
From your biases.
Yeah, we just want the listeners to know that Morgan's wrong in this instance.
Yeah.
Wrong. You come to my house, pat my dog, drink my water. You guys are doing drugs. You're like, where's my third beer? Anyway, we won't get into why I had... Dinosaurs.
What do you think the best finale was? Star Trek, probably.
Yeah, actually, I was gonna say Quantum Leap, show. But I would
Quantum
say probably Star Trek.
Oh, Quantum Leap was
Quantum Leap, Star Trek. Definitely not JAG.
Oh no,
there's a lot of stinkers.
Yeah, it's a lot of stinkers. Yeah, but I guess it has to probably be Star Trek. I couldn't really think what else.
Magnum PI.
But Star Trek wasn't like a hard Like, they weren't wrapping up the whole series.
No, because that universe was going to keep on going with so they had that advantage.
So yeah, it's a very different type of finale when you're like trying to wrap up a whole series as opposed to maybe leaving it open ended.
Mm. You want to see Third Rock from the Sun, Next Generation?
Fourth Rock from the Sun.
I'd watch a continuation.
I see what you've done
there. There's a reboot.
Anyway,
I'll take it.
Speaking of reboots, shall we move on to reboots?
Yeah. What's the fourth? Oh, I feel like a fucking idiot right now.
You should know this.
I know I should know this, but it's real fucking primary school knowledge and it's inaccessible to your modern day adult.
When am I ever going to use this?
I was going to say inaccessible to your mind.
Fucking hell. Locked it out. All right, you got Mercury. You got Venus,
that's one. Yep, that's two. Number three.
Oh, God,
it's
I feel
the,
like
it's the main one.
What do you mean? Oh, Mars.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
Sam's really... Sam in the background is just losing his fucking mind.
He's really regretting the fact he came here early. All right, come on, let's move into reboots. I lied. I said I come up with one on the fly. I just
have to have a pun. Just real quick, under pressure.
So mine is going to be First Jazz from the Moon.
Starring Elvis Costello.
Starring Elvis Costello. Elvis Costello and Prince, and they solve crimes.
Oh. On the moon?
No, they're both from the moon. It turns out.
Okay, yeah,
from the moon.
They're moon people. They've come down to, you know,
solve crimes.
To solve crimes together.
Earth
in,
crimes.
Yeah, in
against
in Nicaragua.
Oh, not in Boston or Portland.
Why would
from
I,
Portland,
why would you just
they're solving
why
crimes
would you
in Nicaragua.
I'm just impressed you learned for third place.
No, I'm off Nicaragua now. And it's going to be in Milan.
Maine.
Oh.
Big time.
Right.
Fancy. Yeah.
That's a winner.
First Jazz from the Moon.
Nice.
All right. I do have a reboot. It's a similar premise to Third Rock with aliens coming to Earth to conduct experiments, but it's an kind of an alternative story, going to be like a sci-fi action shoot 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
So the aliens come down in order to take their human forms. The aliens have to control people's bodies, not like we were saying. They don't create them in a video game.
Okay.
Stealing some bodies. So the same group of four aliens come down to a small Catholic church in rural Massachusetts. Going Boston, Morgs. Nice. You know what I'm talking about.
It's one of the three places.
Where you're talking
one of the
about.
Four places I know.
So John Lithgow is the priest. We've got the same cast. John Lithgow is the priest there. French Stewart. Mm-hmm. And JGL are altar boys. Ooh. And Kristen Johnston is a nun. Mm-hmm. I really like John Stewart as a priest. I reckon he'd nail that.
Sorry.
John Stewart?
Did you say John Stewart?
I did say John Stewart. Yeah. I meant John Lithgow.
I was really
interesting.
Confused, yeah.
Understudy?
John Lithgow and French Stewart. So yeah. The aliens start taking control.
Sorry. Is it possible that John Stewart is the love child of French Stewart and John Lithgow? Think
possible.
About it.
I will.
No, you won't.
The aliens start taking control of all the men, but Kristen Stewart manages to fight them off.
Do you mean Kristen Johnson?
Fuck, I'm battling here. These Stewarts are really killing me. There's too many Stewarts. Joseph Gordon Stewart. So the men get controlled. Kristen Johnson managed to keep control of her body,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically a battle between her and the mind-controlled men. So it ends with the final showdown where the priest and the altar boys are cornering Kristen Johnson and all hope seems lost. So she turns to the Bible that's on the altar and she flips it open and finds a cutout and a gun sitting in there. She pulls it out and just bang, 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 kills all three of them. And it's called Third Glock from the Nun.
Oh.
I think I threw my back out trying to stretch that far for that tile.
Jesus Christ, I can't believe it. Because you very obviously came up with a name and worked backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And that's insane, that name. It's no Sex and the Civic, but it's close.
Yeah, I do really like John Lithgow as a priest, though.
Yeah, me too. I'd watch anything with John Lithgow.
I would be surprised if he hadn't played a priest at some point in his career.
Yeah.
Even if it was the early days, the more smutty kind of stuff.
Smutty priest?
Smutty priest.
Nothing like that priest fantasy.
Jonathan Lithgow.
Third Glock from the Sun. Not our strongest set.
Third
Glock from the Nun and First Jazz from the Moon. Not our strongest set of...
from the Mun.
Not our strongest set of reboots, let's just say that much. But let's move into the IMDb list of the episode. was going to say the week, but like we do this so frequently.
Third
list of the week.
Of the year.
Abe, what do you got for us?
So I've got a list called The Kindest Faces I've Ever Seen. Despite whatever their roles, these actors often keep such lively and unique faces.
Like in their cupboard?
Maybe. I don't know. So it's got 560 people. It seems like a pretty wholesome list initially. You got JGL at number 48.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Colonel Sanders at 27.
Don't know about that one.
Okay.
Jim Henson, Richard Gere, John Candy.
All right.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Tony Danza.
Yeah.
TD. Ronald Reagan at number 4.
Interesting.
All right.
The comment is the last president who believed in the Constitution.
That's one man's opinion.
Tom Hanks at number 20.
Okay. All right,
I find it pretty sad to hear that when he was 16, he wrote a beautiful paper to a relative of how much he loved the Lord and wanted to serve him with his life. Later, he went to college, studied Darwinism, and likely sort of lost his faith. Now acts in movies with little to no morals.
Totally.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean little to no morals?
He's nothing, bankrupt.
Yeah, nothing. No, morally bankrupt. That's Tom Hanks for you.
Yeah, so this list really falls off the rails, and then it all kind of started making sense when I saw the user was the same person that did the list, male celebrities who are so much hotter and more talented than Leonardo DiCaprio. Honestly, girls, please. One
this
of our favorite.
This guy's got a real agenda.
Favorite lists from many episodes ago. Yeah, the manifesto on it how really much they hate Leo.
Manifesto is the right word. 100%. This person has got an axe to grind.
Oh, such an agenda.
Many axes to grind.
I don't understand. I still like. Okay, that's kind of that list is insane. But the Leo one, the fact that he singled out Leonardo DiCaprio and has a 600 person list. It's just like...
And like literally 2,000 words written about it.
Yeah.
On that forum. So this person is incredibly prolific on IMDb. They have written a whole bunch of reviews. My favorite one is a review of The Godfather titled Groundhog Day and then a whole bunch of greater than symbols, The Godfather.
Oh.
How many stars? One star?
A lot less than Groundhog Day.
Yeah, right.
And... that led me to another one of their lists, which is called Celebrities I Am Sick Of, Hate, Despise, Loathe, Revile, Deprecate, Abhor, Execrate, Detest, Spurn, Dislike, Eschew, Nauseate, Disapprove Of, Wanna Smack, or Just Don't Care About.
I really feel like just one of those would have
they hit the thesaurus.
I have a feeling if you go to thesaurus.com, it's going to be in that order when you type in the word hate.
So, number one on that list, you can probably imagine.
Oh, it's Leonardo, it's Leonardo DiCaprio, honestly, girls.
It's Leo, honestly, girls, please. Number two, who do you think's... Leo's obviously the worst person in the world, in history. Who's the second worst?
Based on this guy's opinion, I'm going to go with... is it Selleck?
No, it's not.
Travolta.
Adolf Hitler.
So the worst person in the world is Leonardo DiCaprio, and the second worst is Adolf Hitler.
You got it.
I would say not necessarily in that order, but probably accurate.
Number three, Stanley Kubrick, and then number four,
Stanley Kubrick,
Joseph Stalin, then Jennifer Lawrence, and then naturally Karl Marx.
What? This person has just found. Sam's lost it. Sam,
I'm really playing to the crowd now.
You are really playing to the crowd.
This list is wild. There's a fair description on each of these people as well.
Is Paul Pot in there?
I haven't got there. I just got to Sigmund Freud, then Julianne Moore.
Sigmund Freud, he's really...
Then Julianne Moore, then Vladimir Lenin.
Oh, come on. Julianne Moore.
Hitting all the bigs.
Yeah.
So what's this person's agenda? Like, what are they trying achieve?
He probably doesn't really have that much of an axe to grind with Hitler or Stalin. He's just trying to paint
a
picture. Like,
it's a bit of a...
This is how much I hate Leo.
It's a bit of a yardstick for...
He's getting in the list with Hitler.
From my deep dive into their rabbit hole, they hate Leo, love Disney movies and Groundhog Day, and don't like The Godfather.
Aaron, who is this person?
Is it Jez?
It's probably Jez.
This is a G up for sure.
How does Jez feel about Leo?
Oh, I don't know. He looks too much like him.
Oh, man, I just went from Eminem to Robert Mugabe.
There's no, this list is nonsensical. Like, you just, again, what, it's just, you've got to have a real issue with the just the random famous people he's sort of scattered throughout that list. Like, Julianne Moore doesn't really, I think she's a bit stiff to be, like, I can see how people might not like Leonardo DiCaprio. I can see how he's kind of polarizing. I don't hate him as much as Hitler personally. That's just me.
That's just you.
I'm just one guy. Like, I'm not going to compare him to Hitler with Joseph
Stalin. So your list is more like Adolf Hitler, Mugabe, Leo, then Lennon. Like that's your sort of, that's your runner.
That's the kind of guy Morgan is.
Okay. Let's throw Mark Zuckerberg in there as well.
Oh, not Karl Marx?
I don't mind a bit of Karl Marx.
Yeah, Karl Marx. Yeah.
I could be known as this Comrade Cole over here.
Boy, oh boy. I don't know if I want to know more about this person or less.
I really feel that we haven't seen the last of this person.
Yeah.
We can't name it for legal purposes.
I feel like this is a sliding doors moment for us. We could walk away now, or this could consume us.
Go down the rabbit hole, see how far it goes.
Into the belly of the beast,
exactly.
I think.
We're ending up on that list.
This one
sure.
goes
oh, for sure.
all the way to the top.
Leo, Morgan, Hitler.
The reptiles in the goddamn White House. All right. Well, I could talk about the reptiles in the in the White House and how much I hate Leo and how he's worse than Hitler, but we won't do that. So, look, let's final thoughts here on Third Rock from the Sun. Will you guys go back and revisit a little bit of this, or are you just going to park it there?
I'll visit that John Lithgow bitch compilation for sure.
Oh, that's coming on later. Don't worry about that. I'm glad at least there's one thing that's particularly fancy.
How wild. It's just
good.
Wild.
It's not that long. There's only a handful of scenes, but it's still enough to get good chuckles. But so you wouldn't go back and watch any episodes?
There'd be some good gags. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it, but I wouldn't turn it off. Which,
Scott,
what like you say, is well
it's very
truly
rare.
Above.
It's probably not going to happen.
95% of the other shows we've
done.
Yes, it did happen to me recently, though, with MacGyver.
Oh, yeah.
It's on like Saturday mornings on like one of the digital channel 10 channels.
One of those fake channels.
Yeah, one of those fake channels. We're told they're not real. I told you that before. Don't look them up because they're not real. I actually had put on a bit of MacGyver in the background. It was quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, but maybe in some sort of alternate reality I would. And if I was going to, it'd be something from the first season.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay.
Because there's some good gags in there, and there were some nice heartfelt moments, as I said before. And Lithgow's just a real cracker. The whole cast is great.
I really want to watch Cliffhanger now.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll watch it later.
Yeah.
After the footy. So topical thing I put in the podcast there. Shouldn't do that.
really dated this. By the time this comes out, footy will be abolished.
No one will have gotten away with it. No one will have worked out that
Hitler's not topical enough for you.
No one will work it out because I said July and dry July and Jez in lockdown because of COVID-19. I actually, if this ends up on one of the streaming services, I reckon I'll
check some out.
Yeah, I'll check. I'll put some. I'll actually go. I won't wait for it to come on. I will seek it out and physically put it on.
Like your friend Stuart manually opening his eyelashes.
Exact eyelids.
I was about to say eyebrows, and I was like, no, that's the wrong one. Yeah. Eyelashes.
Eyelashes, got it.
He's got a problem with the whole sort of set, you know. It all needs a bit of a makeover.
All right, well, if you can, jump on our website and throw us a suggestion. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Keep up to date with all the episodes coming out. And also, if you can jump on to your preferred podcasting platform and give us a rate review, it does help us get out there a little bit further.
If you want to attend our next live show, organize beers with Morgan and don't specify a time.
Exactly.
Just turn up,
get here, and then you could join Sam and Coda in the live studio audience.
You could be trying to open the fridge and get a beer quite quietly. That could be you.
It could be you. It is nice having someone that's a fan that's not a cat or a dog around kind of listening in. It's a welcome change.
Bit of feedback. Human fans. It's nice.
Rather than just Coda chewing on Aaron's foot. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Doesn't make any sense. I've asked her for constructive feedback. She just won't give it to me. Anyway, we'll leave things there. So anyway, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Sam.